You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Karen Davis, the founder and president of United Poultry Concerns. Karen, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Dave. I'm delighted to be on your show. Thanks so much.
Karen, I saw an article today about a religious practice called kaporos or kaparot. I'd like to talk about that in great detail in a moment, but before we do, for the benefit of the listeners, can you give them a little bit of background about who you are and the organizations that you head?
Yes, absolutely. My name is Karen Davis, and I am the founder and president of United Poultry Concerns. This is our 24th year of existence. We promote the compassionate and respectful treatment of chickens, turkeys, ducks, and other domesticated fowl. And the Alliance to End Chickens as Kaporos is a project of United Poultry Concerns that was officially established in New York City in June of 2010. So we have established the Alliance to End Chickens as Kaporos as a way to pull together in a coherent body people who oppose the use of chickens in the Kaporos ritual and who seek to encourage practitioners to choose to swing packets of coins over their heads as a symbolic gesture of atonement instead of swinging chickens, which coins they would then give directly to their favorite charity. So I should explain that I became aware of the Kaporos ritual in 1994, 4 years after I started United Poultry Concerns as a national nonprofit organization, when people from Brooklyn and the Bronx began calling United Poultry Concerns, and they were very distressed about the chickens being forced to sit in transport crates out on the streets of the city without food, water, or any shelter, or really any attention from anybody. And people felt very frustrated. And the majority of people who called us, asking us to please help these chickens and do something to stop this terrible ritual, were members of the Jewish community. So I do want to underscore that the people who practice the use of chickens in the Kaporos ritual represent a small number of members of the Jewish community, by no means the entire Jewish community. In fact, most people that I've spoken to over the years, when they learn about this chicken swinging and slaughter ritual in the days leading up to Yom Kippur, the Jewish Day of Atonement, are absolutely aghast. They'd never heard of it, and they are shocked to hear about it and how cruel it is. And just to underscore that, it's a small number of Hasidic practitioners in the communities that practice this, what is not even a Jewish law or any requirement in Jewish law or tradition. It's a medieval custom.
Why don't you explain for the listeners, Karen, exactly what Kaporos is?
Well, Kaporos is, and as you said, it can also be pronounced kaparot. It depends on which groups of people are practicing the ritual, and the ritual has varying spellings. But the idea is that between Rosh Hashanah and the Jewish Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, there is a period in which you can begin to prepare for your repentance, your atonement. You should be showing mercy in very special ways. You should be repenting for any sins or wrongdoings of the previous year, and you should be promising yourself that next year you're going to do better. So the Kaporos ritual, which originated in around the 9th century, is a medieval custom among some Hasidic Jewish communities, Hasidic practitioners, has developed this ritual whereby a man is supposed to swing a rooster and a woman is supposed to swing a hen over their heads and recite a chant which basically says, I'm passing my sins and punishment onto you, this chicken, who is going to suffer and die in my place so that I can have a long and happy life. So it's one of those rituals where you pass your sins and the punishment that you believe or that your religious doctrine says should be meted out to you by God. You pass it on to, in this case, a chicken. Now, this idea of transferring one's sins, diseases, punishments to a scapegoat, to an innocent victim or class of victims is by no means limited to the practice of Kapporos. Just parenthetically, the entire Christian doctrine is based on the idea of Jesus having had the sins of humanity heaped upon him and he died for our sins and all that. So I won't go all into that except that the idea of transferring one's sins into an innocent victim and they bear away the sins or they absorb the sins in order to cleanse the community or the individual of sins, vices, diseases is definitely a widespread practice both in time and place. In any case, the ritual consisted, as I said, of swinging the birds over one's head. And one of the cruelest aspects of this whole cruel ritual is how the practitioners hold the birds by their wings. They actually suspend the chickens by their wings and often will just stand around and chat with one another, holding these birds in this totally inhumane way, which is both painful for the birds and potentially injurious. It can cause torn ligaments, broken bones, and so forth. Plus, the chickens they are using are very, very large and heavy. They've been bred specifically for the poultry industry, and their wings and their whole bodies are very, very fragile because of the artificial breeding that has been inflicted upon them. So they are even more at risk of injury and pain being held by their wings because there is no bird who has ever evolved in nature whose wings were designed to support their body weight. So it's not only when practitioners or whoever the rabbis are swinging the birds around their heads that they're holding them in this extremely inhumane, painful way, but practitioners will just stand around waiting for their part in the ritual and they'll just be holding the birds as if they just had a large bag of groceries they were just holding down at their side with no show at all of any glimmer of compassion for these birds. Mm-hmm. We also draw attention to the fact that the birds are being trucked into the streets of Brooklyn, the Bronx, and elsewhere. These rituals are being held in urban areas like Lakewood, New Jersey, and other parts of New York, and of course in a particular area of Los Angeles and particular areas of Florida. They truck them in from factory farms, and who knows when these birds last had any food at all or water. So by the time they appear on the city streets, they might have already not had any food or water for 9, 10, 12, or more hours. Then they sit out on the streets, loaded in transport crates, immobilized in transport crates. They cannot move their bodies. They're just crammed in there, and they are not given any food or water or any relief from the weather. Last year, 2,500 chickens were reported by the New York Daily News to have died of heat stress alone because of the unusually warm weather in late September last year when the rituals were being conducted. So no mercy, no kindness, no gentleness is shown to these birds, just the opposite. They're treated like what they are intended to be in the ritual, punished objects. So one point I make to people when they say, well, can't they be treated humanely? Isn't there a way to make this ritual humane? And my response is, first of all, the only role of the chicken in the ritual is to be a symbolic recipient of the sins or wrongdoings and the punishment of the practitioner. So the very role of the chicken is to be mistreated, to be punished. So that being the role of the chicken necessarily translates into the extremely cruel practices to which the chickens are subjected by the practitioners. The birds, as I say, they're trucked in, they're stacked up in transport crates, they can't move, they have no water, they have no food, and they're just out there in the polluted air of Brooklyn and other city streets. And we also bring out the fact that in addition to the fact that the New York State anti-cruelty law is being violated because it is against the New York State animal cruelty law to withhold food, water, and protection from the weather for more than 24 hours. And yet these birds can be out there for days with nothing, no sustenance, no shelter, no nothing. In addition, there are numerous health code laws that are being violated with impunity by the practitioners. They're allowed to do these illegal things, slaughtering thousands of birds in open-air tents in a residential area such as Crown Heights and Borough Park, where so much of the ritual is conducted. So you've got a real human health and safety hazard taking place that city law enforcement should be enforcing, but due to the politics of things, they are allowing these practitioners to break the law law year after year to allow blood and feces and feathers to be in drains, to be floating in the air. They are allowing dead birds to pile up on the city streets. They throw dead and alive birds, birds with cut throats who are still alive and writhing and in pain and often crying. They will just throw them all into big black plastic trash bags and leave them there on the street or throw them into dumpsters, which are often seeping with blood coming out into the drains and gutters. And they leave them there for the city sanitation workers to cart off to landfills. Now, this is something that the residents of New York City have to pay for. The taxpayers bear the financial burden of these practitioners breaking the law by allowing all of these dead birds and the blood and the feces and the feathers and the skin dander and just the whole horrible mess there to be picked up by the city tab. So we're looking at a combination of factors here. We certainly took up this issue because it fits our mission of promoting the compassionate and respectful treatment of chickens and other domesticated fowl. And we are looking at a situation where the cruelty is right in your face. It's right out there on the city streets. When you walk into Crown Heights onto Eastern Parkway and Kingston Avenues, and suddenly you're just confronted with this wall of thousands of chickens in these transport crates, a wall of them lined up and stacked up, and nobody else is allowed to get away with that, just these practitioners. And they will cite that this is a religious ritual, but it needs to be understood that this ritual is not mandated by any Jewish law. Most Jewish people do not and never have practiced any type of kapporos, whether with coins or chickens or whatever. It is a medieval custom. It is not required by the Torah or the Talmud. So it is really an affront to traditional Jewish teachings and values and laws, as increasing numbers of rabbis, including Orthodox rabbis, are pointing out, that this is an embarrassment to the Jewish religion rather than an expression of it. Mm-hmm. We also bring out the fact that these practitioners, if they wish to atone for their sins in some kapporos symbolic way, and again, kapporos can be translated as atonement, sacrifice, replacement, the idea that the chicken is a replacement for the human wrongdoer, they can swing coins of money in a pouch and then give that money to their favorite charity, which is how many, if not most, practitioners of kapporos practice kapporos. They swing a packet of money over their heads. They recite a chant about promising to hopefully doing better in the next year and repenting of their sins in the previous year. And it's a benign and actually good ritual. It helps people and it doesn't hurt animals. And it is in keeping with the whole idea of repentance and showing of mercy and kindness and promising to do better in the next year than torturing all these birds, having a massive slaughter right out on the city streets or wherever the slaughter would be held. And we also bring out the fact, too, that these people who practice this ritual are, I don't know exactly how much they pay for each chicken, but maybe they pay a dollar or two, maybe less. But they're selling them for anywhere, sometimes $5, sometimes $18, sometimes $26. So in the guise of religion, there's a lot of money being made also. And that, I think, is a very big factor in why those who are leading the ritual, the temples and the rabbis who are saying that, oh, we have to have this ritual, are so keen on maintaining it because they make a lot of money out of it. And they mislead their practitioners into thinking that the majority of these chickens who have been slaughtered out in the city streets are going to go to the poor. But in fact, most of the birds don't. They go into black trash bags, as I said, and then the city sanitation department has the sad duty of taking these bags of dead birds off to landfills. So there's just a lot of fraudulence. There's a complete lack of legal justification. And even if the practitioners cite the First Amendment, which is freedom of religion, and the Supreme Court decision back in 1993, which is a complicated matter, but the point is this, that Supreme Court decision does not supersede city health codes in New York or the state anti-cruelty law.
Yes, I was actually going to ask you about that specific question, that Supreme Court decision. That was regarding not kapporos, but Santeria, I believe, right?
Right, the Hialeah case in Florida.
Right, in Florida, right, exactly. It's a sad picture you painted here because they don't spend the last few days of their lives in any kind of dignity.
No.
They're abused. They're obviously suffering. They're being tortured.
Yes.
And these people are just holding them. And I watched the video on your website. And it's sad because the way that they hold them, like you said, it can't be too comfortable. I can't imagine myself being held that way by some kind of a giant, which is, I guess, what we look like to them. And why do you think it is that the folks who are doing this, and I guess predominantly they hail from, I guess, Eastern Europe, that's where this tradition took hold. Why do you think it is that they're exhibiting really no remorse for what they're doing?
Well, that's a good question. Again, I think part of it is there's money to be made from the ritual. There is a lack of empathy or compassion for the chickens, maybe for animals generally. I don't want to go beyond what I can say fairly safely. And again, the Hasidic ritual of swinging chickens and passing sins into them is part of just this ancient idea of, again, survives in many ways in modern form, which I could go into, but let's just say that we certainly in modern day life think that we can cure ourselves of our diseases by passing all of our diseases into the bodies of non-human animals and what we call vivisection experiments. So the idea that they should suffer and die so that we can cleanse ourselves of our diseases is one modern example of the ancient idea of transferring one's sins, pollution, to an innocent being or beings, class of beings, in order to cleanse oneself and be purified or to expiate one's sins. So this ritual is in that tradition. But, you know, when you're out there on the street with the practitioners and the rabbis, as I'm going to be in about an hour and a half from now, tonight, tomorrow night, and the next night, it's really hard to convey. But again, I see this in the poultry industry too, that people reach a place or they are in a place where they just have no regard for certain lives, or maybe all lives, but certainly certain lives. They just don't. It's a business, so they become callous, they become indifferent, they don't care about the victims, or they say the victims don't really suffer. In fact, that's some of what the Hasidic practitioners will say. Oh, again, it's just rhetoric to basically shut people up. They'll say, oh, well, we do treat them humanely, which, of course, they don't at all. It's just a language that, like I say, the poultry industry will say, oh, well, we treat them humanely just so customers will shut up and go away and keep buying their product. So they'll say, well, we treat them humanely, or they don't really suffer, or they have this belief, the Hasidic community has this belief that the chickens are actually, even though they deny them any sentience or semblance of feeling or anything, on the other hand, they argue that the chicken or the soul of the chicken is happy to suffer and die for a higher purpose, for a higher value. And suddenly the chicken, who has no other value to them or no autonomy or anything, any dignity or anything, is represented as glad to or happy to be sacrificed for the higher purpose of the Hasidic practitioner community. They want to suffer and die for us. It's their choice.
And I guess then they're just following what the rabbi might say.
Well, that's another thing, too, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I know from talking to various people who live in and who are against the use of chickens and kaporas, who are in Brooklyn, for example, that occasionally somebody in the Hasidic community will say, you know, I don't like this, or they'll just say it privately. They will not dare to say it publicly. They're afraid of ostracism, and they're very scared of that. But in general, whatever the rabbi tells his particular congregation, that's what they're going to do. I even had a phone call about 2 weeks ago from a man who did not leave his name, but he said that on the phone. He says, as long as the rabbi tells his congregation that this is necessary or acceptable, the congregation is going to go along with it, whatever private opposition might exist within that group of people.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of out of step with Western civilization today, wouldn't you say?
Well, in some ways, yes.
Now, I wanted to ask you, Karen, where do they get these chickens from?
My understanding is they are getting them from a factory farm company in New Jersey. I don't have the name of it. There was the name on a truck that one of the lawyers who's working on this right now had traced. And as of right now, the name of the actual company that is raising these chickens in a big mass production chicken houses, I don't have the name at my fingertips. But United Poultry Concerns is on the eastern shore of Virginia. And the eastern shore of Virginia, the eastern shore of Maryland, and all of Delaware.
Sure, that's where Purdue is.
Yes, Salisbury, Maryland, where Purdue started. And he's got basically the entire University of Maryland system system is endowed with Purdue's blood money. So anyway, we are on the lower eastern shore of Virginia, and at any given time, over a half a billion chickens are on that small strip known as the Delmarva Peninsula, 150 miles long, 50 miles across. And if you drive up and down Route 13 or 50 or on any of the back roads, if you don't know what you're looking at, you would not realize that there are just 20, 50,000 birds in each one of those totally sealed up houses. So I had thought originally that maybe they're getting these in New York, at least, maybe they're getting in New Jersey, maybe they're getting some of the birds or a lot of the birds from Delaware or Maryland. They come clear down to Virginia, but which may be the case. But certainly they're getting them from the factory farming industry because they're mass produced. They're coming up in a mass production transport crate situation. There are thousands and thousands of them. The last thing I heard, which was within the last few weeks, is that the birds in New York are being driven up from New Jersey. They're being raised in the large industrial chicken houses in New Jersey and brought up to New York. And of course, they also use them in New Jersey. Lakewood, New Jersey is basically a Hasidic city, so they use thousands of them too.
How large is this issue? What type of numbers are we talking about here? Because I've heard that a chicken is sacrificed for each person. So if, for example, you brought up Lakewood, New Jersey, which isn't too far from me. Let's say each family has between 6 and 7 children. Does
right.
that mean that there's 7 to 9 chickens being sacrificed?
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, exactly. And I've forgotten 3 for a pregnant woman. There's something. Yeah, they have varying numbers of birds who are used for individuals in varying conditions. I have heard that they use as many as anywhere from 50 to 65,000 chickens in New York altogether. But then I've heard like 5 or 6,000 in Crown Heights. So I wish I could give you a more exact figure, but I can't. I can say it's thousands. I know it's thousands, but how many exact thousands? Again, I'm just not able to say precisely. Again, just looking at them in Crown Heights, you've got, I don't know how many, 8 or 10 chickens stuffed into each transport crate, and there's just so many crates. And then in addition, all over Borough Park, for example, I'm in a hotel in Borough Park, Brooklyn right now, they're setting up these makeshift slaughter tables and tents all over the place. You know, they're like on different street corners. They're just everywhere. They're in parts of Brooklyn called Midwood and Williamsburg and Crown Heights. And they've got chickens everywhere where these Hasidic communities are located. And there are different numbers of chickens in the crates that will appear on various street corners.
Okay. So is it safe to say, for example, if the population of the Hasidic Jews in Lakewood is about 100,000, that you might have 100,000 or more chickens being killed?
That could be. I think that needs to be clarified and established one way or the other, but it could be. It could be.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned before that law enforcement authorities, whether it's the police or the Humane Society, they're not doing anything. Why is that?
Well, the reason is that the Hasidic community, they give a lot of money to politicians. And the word comes down from on high that they are not supposed to be touched. And the police are going to be there tonight, and they're always there when we, the protesters, are there to protect the practitioners, to be allowed to conduct their illegal practices. It's a political thing, which is based on a lot of money going into the pockets of the powers that be. And so they say, we will not touch these people. Let them do their ritual and break the laws. And we're going to send the police in and ensure that they are protected from anybody who tries to interfere with what they are doing.
At the taxpayers' expense.
Yes, exactly. Yes, they are allowed to do what they're doing. One of the people who just joined our coalition this year, she hurried up and put together a Freedom of Information Act request to the various appropriate government agencies to find out whether these practitioners, whether they have permits to do what they're doing, to set up these slaughter operations in residential areas, to allow dead birds to pile up on city streets and the blood and the feathers and the feces and all of that to be out there all illegally. So she wants to gather the evidence, which we presume will show that these people don't even have permits. They're not even being required to apply for permits to do these things, that they're just operating illegally. And another central point is that even if the ritual per se, the swinging and slaughtering, horrible as all of that is protected by the First Amendment, everything surrounding it, the holding the birds in transport crates, not feeding them, not giving them water, violating all these city health codes, those are not protected by the First Amendment. At most, it's the ritual itself, which is protected, unfortunately, but the birds being forced to sit in the transport crates on the city streets without any care at all is not protected. And the First Amendment does not supersede the health codes of the city of New York or the state anti-cruelty statute.
Mm-hmm. So, of course,
these are some issues that we are looking into now very carefully, very closely. And we are now looking very definitely at challenging the illegality with impunity that the city government and state government have been allowing these observers to practice without having to obey any laws.
I also read in an article, Karen, that one of the reasons they're allowed to get away with this is that sometimes they'll complain about anti-Semitism. Have you found that as well?
Well, I'll tell you what. When people are doing something they shouldn't be doing and they can find a way to make their accusers back off or feel guilty, they'll say anti-Semitism or, you know, you're harassing this group or that group who's an oppressed group, and they'll hold up a shield of I'm oppressed, so don't you dare tell me what to do. These people are part of the human community. And to suggest that this is about anti-Semitism is ridiculous. First of all, United Poultry Concerns, we work to improve the lives of chickens and other domestic fowl in their relationship with human beings. We have many campaigns going on. We have campaigned against school districts that have allowed chickens or have forced students to raise and slaughter chickens in the classroom. We have campaigns against fraternities that do some horrible things to chickens and turkeys. We have many campaigns and have had through the years. We promote a compassionate, animal-free, vegan diet, and we urge people to not eat animals, and we have all kinds of literature on that subject, recipes, etc. And we have a long-standing opposition to the entire poultry and egg industry. Most of the people who first contacted us about Kaporis were Jewish themselves. And this is not about anti-Semitism. It's about extreme animal cruelty that is practiced by this particular group of people who are Jewish. But for them to say this is anti-Semitic is kind of a way, again, to make us feel, well, we should be put on the defensive and we should hurry up and try to defend ourselves against charges of anti-Semitism. We don't even get into that. These are people who are treating chickens cruelly.
Right.
And so that's why we are on their case.
Right. And have you been called anti-Semitic yourself?
Not me personally so much, although maybe I have been, maybe here and there. But certainly, you know, the Alliance has been accused here and there. But again, the majority of people are on our side completely. They're either members of the Alliance, which is a loose association of individuals and groups, or they're totally supportive of what we're doing. Jewish people don't like the Kaporis ritual. They feel bad for the birds. They just don't even relate to it at all. Now, we do make the point when people say how awful it is how these birds are treated as Kaporis victims. We use the opportunity to point out the fact that the chickens on their plate, if they are still eating chickens, suffer just as much. So it's not like we're just picking on the Kaporis practitioners. We pick on animal abusers. And if they're abusing animals and we can devote our resources to how they're making chickens and turkeys and ducks, in our case, suffer and how they're mistreating them, that group is going to be targeted. So whoever they are.
Right, sure. And are you Jewish yourself, Karen?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not Jewish. I'm not religious. I went to the Methodist church that was on the corner of the street I grew up on in Altoona, Pennsylvania, because it was on the corner. And that was the extent of our
religiosity. And finally, have you made any progress here?
Yes, we have. More and more people are openly supporting the Alliance to End Chickens as Kaporis. Last year, for the first time, a coalition of people in Los Angeles, Faith Action for Animals, and joined by another group, Expanding Rights for Animals. Anyway, the acronym is EARN, E-A-R-N, run by an attorney named David Burke. Last year, for the first time, they pulled together a coordinated effort against the Kaporis practice in what they call the Pico Robertson part of Los Angeles, where this is conducted.
Mm-hmm.
They've actually gotten a few of the sites shut down for health code violations. And another thing we're seeing more and more people who are becoming educated about this ritual. More and more people are speaking out publicly, and we're most happy that increasingly in Israel and in the United States, rabbis, including Orthodox rabbis, are taking a stand. Now, I don't have this rabbi's name right in front of me, but if you look at the Alliance to End Chickens as Kaporis website, you will see that we posted a rabbi in Israel who has come out and spoken out against the use of chickens and Kaporis, urging practitioners to swing money instead of chickens, pointing out that the swinging of money is a perfectly acceptable way of practicing Kaporis. Chickens are absolutely not necessary at all. And for that matter, again, as I keep saying, Kaporis isn't necessary either under Jewish law. But for those who want to practice Kaporis, this rabbi is joining other rabbis. And we have a very supportive Hasidic rabbi, Rabbi Yonason Gershom, who lives in Minnesota and who really has a very kind and caring feeling for chickens. He has some of his own chickens. And he has spoken out very strongly against the whole use of chickens in the Kaporis ritual. He has allowed us to quote him. And tonight and tomorrow night and Thursday night, we will have this big illuminated van going up and down the streets of Brooklyn, and we have a loudspeaker with Rabbi Gershom calling upon practitioners to stop using chickens, to use money instead, and how cruel it is to hold the chickens by their wings. So gradually, more and more Orthodox rabbis, Rabbi Stephen Weil, the head of the Orthodox Union in New York City, told me 2 years ago on the telephone, absolutely, we do not support the use of chickens and Kaporis. We do not like the insensitivity to the chickens that's being shown by this practice. We do this as in keeping with the best Jewish teachings, and it's certainly not within the scope of Jewish law. So again, we're seeing more and more rabbis, including Orthodox rabbis, who are speaking out very strongly against the use of chickens in Kaporis because of the cruelty, because it is not part of Jewish law, and because, frankly, they consider it an embarrassment to Judaism.
Yeah, they're the ones that are going to have to stop it. Now, if any listeners would like to help you out, what's the best way for them to do that? Because I don't imagine that you get any funding from the government or from big corporations.
Oh, no, absolutely not. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We depend entirely on tax-deductible donations from our donors. I recommend that people go to our United Poultry Concerns website. Of course, they can donate there, but they can certainly see the scope of our activities on behalf of chickens, turkeys, and other domesticated fowl at upc-online.org. That's www.upc-online.org. And if they scroll down the homepage to the lower right-hand side, they will see the logo for the Alliance to End Chickens as Kaporis, which they can just click on, and they will be at the Alliance to End Chickens as Kaporis website. So if anybody wants the link to that website, which they can get right from our homepage, our United Poultry Concerns homepage, it's just www.endchickensaskaporis.com. And we spell Kaporis K-A-P-O-R-O-S.
Right, because there's a couple other ways to spell it.
Yes.
Karen Davis, the founder and president of United Poultry Concerns, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners. And I want to thank you personally for doing what you're doing, because it's not nice what these people are doing, and I never like to see animals suffering. Nobody should suffer like that. Again, thanks for doing what you're doing, and have done and continue to do.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm very grateful.
Thank you, Karen.